I mean, I just, if nothing else, like to me, because of your marketing stance, like with Robinhood, and you know, we talk a lot about marketing on this show, it's just a dumb marketing move to stop trading. But at the same time,
what we don't know is actually your customer, right?
Did
someone tell them they have to stop the flow?
Yeah.
Because it's not as easy.
Who's the real customer?
Yeah.
Is it the clearing house or is it the individual investors?
Because if they don't manage it properly, they're on the hook or the company right behind it. So it's very likely they got a call from XYZ company going, this one stock is trading 3X what the most traded S&P index fund on the planet is trading. We are now exposed and we are exposed by, I'm making this up, we're exposed by $7 billion. You've got to, we're shutting it down. So it may be that it wasn't Robin Hood's call, but it was the clearinghouse behind it or someone saying,
sure,
we're exposed, we're shutting it down. But still the face of it is Robin Hood, and Robin Hood's whole thing is the small person, the retail investor. And they've never been for the retail investor. Like it's all BS.
Yeah.
Like,
so that takes me back to like, can the little guy actually persuade and change the overall way things happen?
They don't need to. They can still make money. Like there's nothing wrong with the system, right? This is part of what's going on in 21. And if you start with the stance that, this is, assume price never lies. Like if you make that assumption, I don't know why Tesla's worth $900 million, but it's actually not my job to know why. What I do know is it's going up and to the right, and you can either participate in that or stay neutral, right? Like I don't believe it's us to figure out the why. We'll know in 10 years.
Are those the only two options?
What, Tesla and GameStop?
No. You know, going with the trend or staying neutral. Can't you, like, you can bet against
it? I believe you only have two options. Either believe price is right.
Right.
Because price doesn't lie.
What Bob said.
That's the price. But if you... And now, Sean, you've heard me talk about this before, but we're taught to care about the wrong things. Mm-hmm. We are taught to care about the wrong things. And in investing, I mean, I've spent my entire adult life working with adult humans and investing. And I can tell you every single one of them, whether they've been investing for a year or 30 years, they come in and I can tell they were taught to care about the wrong things.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden I show them like, actually, the only thing that matters is price. And you might not know why the stock market went up the day after Trump was elected in 2016. It's not your job to understand why. It's your job to go, what did price do? And there's about 700 million people behind the stock market. The richest 9% on the planet are the stock market. So when they woke up that day after Trump was elected in whatever, November something of 2016, they woke up and said, all right, we're good. Market went up. And it is voting of 700 million people.
So what you're saying, psychology is everything.
It's 100% all investing is behavioral investing. It's all behavior, and it's understanding that price, like there's a saying in technical analysis, people who read price just to say, the only thing that pays is price. If you buy a symbol and it falls in price, you're wrong. If you buy a symbol and it goes up, you're right. Mm-hmm. And no one teaches price, certainly not big box advisors.
Yeah, most people teach story, right?
They teach story. They teach narrative. They go, oh, Jonathan, how old are you? Oh, okay, answer these 7 questions on a Tuesday. Let's make it about you. Okay, it seems like you're a moderate investor. We're going to do an 80-20. 80% is going to go in these 40 index funds. 20% is going to go in these 7 bond index funds. We're going to recalibrate once a year. We're going to make it really complicated, but don't worry, we'll lower our fee to 70 basis points. And you're just like, the fuck is he talking about? I don't know, but he's dressed really nice. The person at the front desk is dressed nice, and they swoop in and be the hero. And that's going away. This is what's being called out. Right. It's like, it's all garbage. It's all BS. And what I mean by that is the narrative that you need a guy or a gal in a nice suit to manage your money. And the answer is you don't. You don't.
So is this like an erosion of authority in general? I mean, we've watched, you know, with the last couple of elections, I mean, even going back to Obama, like, you know, it's a series of elections where people have just revolted against authority in general. It feels like now this with Wall Street, like.
I told you years ago, Trump got elected for the exact same reasons why Obama got elected.
Yeah, absolutely.
Both times, what the voting population of this country said was enough. Mm-hmm. I've had enough. And so they're saying it with Wall Street. Enough of you guys.
I think, you know, we've seen, right, religion was thing and people started shunning religion, leaving the church. Then I think, in my opinion, they got into politics for the most part because that felt like a steady, you know, stalwart type of thing. And then that started crumbling. Are we now moving to Wall Street as the thing?
Like, what's powerful about this? So there's what, 80 million, 78 million baby boomers, right?
Right.
And I think we're all Gen X. And then millennials coming behind us, they are a larger population. Mm-hmm. They're not going to Merrill Lynch. They're probably going to Schwab. Yep. Schwab bought TD Ameritrade. Some of them are probably going to Fidelity, but they're going and they're self-managing their funds. They're not going to Raymond James and Edward Jones. Their parents did that.
Give me an app that I can manage myself.
Like here, I can see it. I get what's going on. And to me, that's really exciting. I mean, if you walk into a big box advisor, you'd have no idea whether it's 1980 or 2021. Other than the screens are thinner.
Well, they're probably not wearing double-breasted suits.
But you're saying like nothing's changed. But really, nothing's changed.
Yeah, they've got skinny pants instead of baggy pants. It's not double-breasted suit coat.
Right.
It's probably a nice collared shirt. But
they're still dressing nicer than you.
Yes.
They're still confusing you with terms. Mm-hmm. The main thing they're doing is selling rapport. Nothing has changed in this industry. And it
you have to make an appointment and come see them as opposed to log onto an app and get instant information.
Yeah, it's 40 years old.
Yeah, if you watch that movie, I don't know if you're a big fan of the movie The Big Short. It's one of my favorite, but it's it really shows a lot of that, you know, just how the, you know, the banks, how the big corporations or the these big hedge fund managers, they kind of use a lot of terminology to confuse you and to, you know, to get your buy-in just because they use a lot of confusion.
But, and they do that, and getting back to persuasion, it's because it works. Like I was talking to, I want to say he's a friend, but someone I'm friendly with who works at a company, they have, I think, 300 billion under management. And I showed him once my approach. He goes, that's great. And I talked about confusion with him. He goes, oh, confusion sells. Complicated. Our clients love complicated approach. They respond to it. We create things that are complicated. And he wasn't being a jerk about it. He goes, that's what's selling. That's what persuades people to give us the money.
Well, you just said something important. Their clients, the people they sell to, like confusion.
They,
because when they use confusing language, that makes them sound like they know exactly what they're talking about.
It's the we both have kids. It's our kids that know more dinosaur names than we do.
Sure. Yeah.
And so then they can say those names to us and they can feel, which is great. Like, and it's the same thing that's going on with the big box or advisor world. They use a lot of confusing terms. They create a lot of complexity.
Sure.
And the buyers love it. The clients love it. They go, oh God, I knew.
Right.
You have a research department. Right. And you know, the joke is you can go buy the S&P 500, reinvest your dividends, and you beat them all over any 5-year period.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But you can't, that person would never allow that to be true in their brain. Mm-hmm. Because the two things people are not allowed to be is, the one thing humans are not allowed to be is crazy.
Right.
Right. Yeah. So if you say to them, actually, you just go buy an index fund, reinvest dividends and beat your big box advisor. If they've been with a big box advisor for 15 years, their brain would actually not allow them to go, well, what have I been doing? Mm-hmm. Oh, well, you've been buying into the narrative of one of the largest industries on the planet. So if that person's able to step back and be detached and go, oh my God, I think you're right. But most people aren't. Most people go, I'm not dumb. You're dumb. I'm not crazy. You're crazy. And so you have trillions of dollars being managed in a unnecessary, complicated way, which again, comes back to GameStop and Wall Street Bets and message boards and people going, no, you don't actually need to do that.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see what happens with Robinhood, because I don't know if it was them calling the shots, but having a class action suit being filed and crashing the Southern District of Manhattan's website of people wanting to see the legal paperwork, like, I mean, it's a big deal to get an alt liberal and an alt conservative going, let's work together.
Sure.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like, I have to say, that's a big deal. Mm-hmm. Like, and whether you like Ted Cruz or AOC, if you have both of them going up against you, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, really, like, there's something more here. And it's very likely the SEC, it'll be interesting what happens in the next 12 to 18 months. And there's got to be some multi-billion dollar hedge fund that came in and is like, oh, we can make some money. But I have no problem with, great, make some money. Like, mm-hmm. It's always been this way. And if you're going to buy a $1 billion stock that has low liquidity and you don't understand that you could absolutely get run over, go buy Amazon at $1.6 trillion market cap. Like, you don't have to fish in that pond.
Hey, real quick. I've got, we got a Facebook user. I actually know who this is. This is our buddy. Well, I'm not going to say who it is. but he says he's confused about the Avengers. Never mind investing. So I think he feels like he's just a little bit lost in this conversation. So maybe, RC, like, if we look at this from a lot of the people listening to this show are marketers, like, what do you think we can learn as far as the art of persuasion, marketing, client experience? I don't know where you want to go with it, but like, what can we learn from this as people who are small business owners, entrepreneurs, marketers? You know, all three of us are in sales and marketing. We have our own companies, like all that kind of stuff. What can we take away from this week to use to make our lives better?
Before I answer, what was the Avengers comment?
He said, so it's Ben Blackman. Wouldn't you know it, Jonathan? It's Ben.
Confused about Avengers. I don't know what the Avengers
are. Are we confusing, Ben? Is that what's going on here?
Apparently, yes. So, that's right. You know Ben. So,
yeah, I will say one thing. Can I mention one thing on the psychology? So, on the psychology of influence, we talk about commitment and consistency. So, I know a lot of that plays into investing, or people that have, you know, really spent their money with a lot of these big box, you know, investment platforms that they've used for so many years. And I think that there's a psychology to that, to say that even if I'm losing money, I'm still going to trust the expert, you know, because I don't want to.
If you get over a certain dollar amount. So I had my first client at 28. I turned 50 in a couple months.
Right.
So the male brain stops getting formed at 27.
Right.
So anyone under the age of 30, I consider a kid. Okay. So I started this when I was a kid, and I'm maybe soon getting to be an adult, but here's what I've noticed. When you have $2 million saved in your 401k in brokerage, okay, you're so scared to lose it that you are easily persuaded to go to Merrill Lynch or any big box advisor because your brain's like, I don't know what's going on, so I have to look for a shortcut. Shortcuts are called heuristics. So our brain looks for shortcuts. He's good looking. He's tall. He drives a Tesla. Or she's good looking. She's tall. She drives a Tesla. Our brains have to go to shortcuts because the big box world is not going to actually teach you. They teach you the difference between a stock and a bond, and they think, you know, the clients think they're educated. They're not. They're confused. So one of the things that is happening is most millennials don't have $2 million in the market. So they're not like, well, I can't lose it. But a 60-year-old is thinking, I can't lose it. So they use a heuristic or a shortcut called, well, Raymond James has been around for 30 years or whatever. So they use Morgan Stanley's been around. So they probably won't steal my money. The brain literally goes to the worst case scenario of, will Morgan Stanley steal my money? Probably not. So I don't want someone stealing my money. So they go to a recognized brand. This is all happening unconsciously, by the way. Right. They go there. The guy uses some cool dinosaur terms. The husband wants to look smart to the wife, or the wife wants to look smart to the husband. They go, I can use some dinosaur terms back to you. They give JP Morgan, Morgan Stanley, Edward Jones, Raymond James, any big box advisor their money. And because they gave them their money, now they're in the Stockholm syndrome loop. Like, and I hope I don't lose you with that, but where the prisoner has to fall in love with the person who has imprisoned them. Like, I'm not crazy. I just gave $2 million as big box advisor and now I'm paying him 1%. So this must be the right thing to be doing.
Right. That goes to Jonathan's comment about commitment and consistency, right? You want to keep doing more of what you've done.
The more you're going to pay them. Yeah. But Gen Xers a little bit, but definitely millennials and Gen Z or whoever's behind are going, no, don't need you. No, right. Don't need you. I can figure this out on my own. I go onto YouTube. I see some cool videos. I start investing. And some of those videos maybe are just buy the index. Right. And so like, their money may be at Schwab or Fidelity, but they're not paying these fees and they're not buying into others' narratives.
But I think like my parents' generation, even some of our generation, they were investing with a person. I think what I hear you saying is the millennials, Gen Z, they're investing on a platform. It's a lot less personal.
Yeah, they don't need
money's always personal, but it's less personal. Like, I'm not going to offend this guy if I sell this stock today. I don't have to worry about meeting George at the country club.
That's why all the big box advisors, they have financial advisors, but they're really salespeople.
Yeah.
And they have quotas for new money coming in, and their bonuses are based on quotas. That has nothing to do with how the money grows. Most people don't know this. All their performance numbers are not based on how well the money was managed. It all has to do with new business.
And I was wondering this week. I mean, is a stockbroker, do they, you know, I know in insurance you have a fiduciary responsibility to the end user, but they don't in stock, right?
No. I mean, if they're a CFP, when you're a CFP holder, there's about 1 million quote unquote advisors in the country. The word advisor doesn't really mean anything. About 90,000 of them are certified financial planners, where if you have those letters after your name, you are actually a fiduciary, meaning you have to put what's best, the interest of your client ahead of your own.
But most of the financial people don't.
90% do not have to do that.
They work for the company, not
they people. Work for the company. They work to make sure their mortgage is paid. And I'm not saying anything that most people don't know. I mean, this is just how it's been.
I mean, I would disagree. I think most people don't know that.
Okay. Well, it's good to know the incentive of who you're working with. So if the incentive is keep your money under management, then just like Facebook has learned that rage sells, because rage does sell. Like, if you get outraged, you click again. The algorithms figured that out. Now, I don't think Zuckerberg started off going, let's build a rage machine, but very quickly the algorithms figured out.
Yeah.
They didn't know it was rage. They said, these type of posts get people to click and we make a penny. Give them another one of those. Like, this is truly like AI. It's not the Terminator. It's people in some ways it's worse because they don't even know it happens.
Yeah.
And they're not open to outside ideas. Like, nope, this is what happened. It happened this way. I read it twice. And I like the person who I'm reading it from.
So I want to go back again, like Jonathan and I always try to bring back, like there's all this persuasion, manipulation that goes on in the world. And we try to figure out how to use that for good for yourself, for your business, to serve your clients. So again,
you asked me this question. I'd say, in some ways, what's great about the small business today, the entrepreneur today, you can have 1,000 followers. And you can offer them something. And if 10% of them buy it and they love your Kool-Aid stand, you can make $100,000-$200,000 a year and lead a pretty good life.
Right.
And there never was, like, you don't have to have 2 million Instagram followers, right? If you have a solid 5,000 that love you and you're aligned with your brand. I mean, that's what's great about this guy, Dave Portnoy, if you know who he is. He sold a portion of his company to Penn Gambling. And he came out in COVID. And he's like, look, I just started buying when COVID, when everything shut down. And he was like saying things against people you weren't allowed to say something. He's like, Buffett's, old and confused. And it's true. Like, Buffett has not outperformed the S&P for 16 years. Most people don't know that. The guy should have retired at 75. But Portnoy came out and he's like, champagne and diamonds, Coke and hoes. Like, he's saying stuff you were never allowed to say and talking down, the Buffets and going, they're washed up. They're wrong. Give me any symbol, I'll make money on it. And it was fascinating. All the old white people like, oh, you can't say that about Buffett. Oh, Benjamin Graham said, like, and he's like, I'm making more than all of you guys. Like, but he's a personality. He's fun. He polarizes. He's a very likable person. I mean, he says I'm very prickly. I don't follow him, but he's like, I'm prickly. He probably doesn't like people. Like, I don't like people either, but getting back to his
pizza reviews,
he's fun. Like, love his pizza reviews. It's not boring.
Yeah. I mean, and we've said on the show before, and I give credit to Dan Kennedy for this. First time I read it, like, just totally hit with me. It's like, people want two things. They want to be entertained and they want to be encouraged that their current worldview is correct. That's it. Like, if you can entertain them and help them solidify their current worldview, not try to change it.
Well, and
I'll love you forever.
And maybe this is, it's all about persuasion, but that's the problem with people when it comes to investing is, if they think gold is a religion or Bitcoin is a religion, if they buy a crypto newsletter, crypto falls for 37 months,
They've already bought the story.
They have an agreement with that newsletter, and that newsletter has an agreement with them that we're only going to give you pro crypto stories. And if we do, you will pay us every year $1,000. And we will not change our narrative once. And whether it's about crypto or GameStop, like, screw them, whoever them are. That's what I mean. Like, this is the behavior of the markets, and it's becoming more transparent. And I see no difference between GameStop and Beyond Meat and Peloton and Zoom. It's worth what people are willing to pay it's worth. And we'll know in 10 years.
Sure.
But right now, follow price. And I'm not saying go buy GameStop because it's, changing so quickly. But if there was a religion, the religion should be price is the only thing that matters, and learn how to understand price.
Well, it's funny. Sean and I were just talking. We had a previous guest on our previous episode. We were talking about conspiracies and how psychology is used to kind of move the goalposts, so to speak. And I start to see, you know, when you talk about, because I, you know, I read some of these crypto newsletters and it's fascinating, you know, bit, you know, blockchain and all these things. Like I see some patterns there, you know, related to what we talked about on the previous episode where, you know, even in when, you know, things drop, you know, there's like opportunity, you know, so it's like, there's never a bad moment. There's always like, oh yeah, we knew this was happening.
Yeah. I mean, let's be real. Like blockchain is a great story.
And I think I think the technology is great.
It's like stick it to the man. If you got blockchain, then they can't control you. I mean, that's really the narrative of
crypto. It is similar to the GameStop story, mm-hmm. right? And it will come out that maybe a couple retailers made some money, but we'll find out that very large companies made the majority of the money. Robinhood is valued at $15 billion. They're the ones, and Citadel getting the trade flow are the only ones making the money. Crypto, to me, what's interesting, first of all, it's probably owned by 9 guys in San Francisco. Like it's not owned by, you know, 300 million people. It's probably controlled by just a few people, quite honestly. But to me, the fact that crypto is around, let's just talk about Bitcoin, that is still around 11 years in after 3 catastrophic falls. And each time it comes back and goes to new highs, that is one more layer of stability, right? Because it's very new. It's a new currency, if you want to call it a currency, mm-hmm. whatever you want to call it, it is new. If it's a company you want to call it, it's great. It's a 10-year-old company. But the more it comes back from these corrections, the higher likelihood it is here to stay. Whatever you want to call it, a ledger, a blockchain, a currency, a fill in the blank, it is something that people can believe in. And what's interesting is before crypto, if you wanted to leave the country with wealth and not get taxed by your government, at least in the US, if you want to hand your passport back and your citizenship, it costs you 50% of your net worth. 50% of your net worth if you want to, you know, not be a citizen of this country. But what's interesting now is theoretically, if you had all of your money in Bitcoin, just get on a plane and go, open an app in another country and there's your money. Like it's better than gold. Before you had to buy, like you can still do this. You can buy necklaces by the ounce in gold. Like yeah. You can have these necklaces, like, you know, basically.
They couldn't take your jewelry, right? They couldn't take jewelry.
They can't take your jewelry. So you can, you know, give me 100,000 in gold in necklaces. They can't take it from you. It's jewelry.
Right.
Now it's like, I'll go put 10 million in Bitcoin. Now let's just set aside that it's stability, but let's say it's stable. Cross over to Canada, open up your phone. You just took, you know, 10 million with you. Like that's pretty interesting.
Right.
And so it'll be interesting.
Well, it almost feels like, you know, like I have some thoughts, like, you know, is the government really going to allow this where they can't manipulate currency and things like that? But on the other side of it, it's like, is this just like the next evolution of Visa?
Well, they'll get in. They're not, it's not that they're going to allow or disallow. They'll get in on the game. I mean, you go to China today. So the first time I went to China was in 1990 and they had something called the renminbi. Before it was called the yuan. The renminbi means the people's money. And there'd be bowls of the money and it'd be little monopoly money, but it was real. And they just sift through the bowl. I mean, it was more than a metaphor. You're like, oh my God, this is all made up. Like it is so made up. And so you go to China today, no one's got paper money.
Right.
Everything is done electronically. Everything is done electronically. India is going in that direction too. And so it's already happening. Like it's not gonna happen. It is happening. And China and India, they are controlling it electronically. They get to see what's going on electronically. So it's already happening. How it will happen here, again, it's already happening. PayPal is accepting Bitcoin. Right. Square is accepting Bitcoin. PayPal was purchased for $1.5 billion in 2004.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's just an extension of, you know, Visa being the toll gate. Now it's, you know, some other, you know, cryptocurrencies is toll gate, right? I mean, it's just a new medium of payment. Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see how this shakes out. So one more time, I'll go back to, you know, trying to give a takeaway to the listeners. Like, how do we take all of this week that's been just a crazy week really in the markets, and like, how do we apply some of the principles of what we've seen to our own businesses in a positive, ethical way?
Sure. I mean, the two things that I think of is, the first is, what a great time to have your own business. I mean, truly a great time to have your own business. Yes, there's work. Yes, you have to choose some sort of social media platform. Mm-hmm. But you go on to YouTube and there's 25-year-olds or 30-year-olds with 2 million subscribers telling people whether they should have a Roth or a traditional. Like,
they should use like red or slightly off red blush. Like, literally, like
the same thing. Like,
it doesn't have to be anything important.
No, it doesn't even have to be about
important.
And so part of it is like, what an amazing time. Like, it used to be you had to be born white and in the West. Mm-hmm. Truly. Like, yeah. And now today it's like, I mean, all things being equal, it's probably still better to be born in the US today than Vietnam. But I just read an article about this kid from Kazakhstan who re-edited a hip hop song, put it on. He did it through a Zoom call, put it on, didn't think anything about it. Someone mentioned something to him. It's got 135 million views on YouTube. And this Kazakhstanian kid's a hip hop star. Now, again, there's, you know, 7 billion of us. So we're going to be able to hear about these one-offs, these randomness. Sure. Getting back to, you know, kind of tying it up, what a good time to be a business owner. And I am a horrible marketer, but I have finally hired someone who actually loves marketing. And I shamed myself for years for not being good at marketing. And so just, again, answering your question, Sean, is you have to understand how to market ethically, and you don't need 2 million Instagram followers. Like, you know, I've never been on Instagram, but if you have a good story, like an honest story, what a good time. And I think that's what the GameStop is, all of these things happening in the market is Dave Portnoy and Wall Street Bets saying you can do it on your own, whether it's a business. And then the other thing is, just in answering your question, is the biggest persuader is ourselves, right? The biggest lie is the one you say to yourself, yeah. Right? We have to be in on the lie, or we have to be in on the persuasion, because it doesn't work. And so if it's about persuasion, and someone's willing to learn, because most people aren't willing to learn, the question someone can ask themselves is, what have I persuaded myself to be true that just might not be?
Yeah. So we had a comment just come in from YouTube, and Wolfgang asked, hey, can we turn this towards taking control of Facebook, Twitter, Amazon, Microsoft, take the companies over and make them better?
No.
Short and sweet.
No, if you don't like Microsoft, go to Google Docs. If you don't like Google Docs, there's, I'm sure, a dozen other companies that aren't those. Like, vote with your wallet, vote with where you go. Those companies are not going away.
So you still believe free market in a sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. If you don't like, and look, I mean, I'm a cynic. I'm a recovering cynic. Like, I have a lot of issues with.
You're not recovering. You're just a cynic.
I soften it by saying I'm a recovering cynic. So
that's your own story for yourself.
It is. And I'm aware of it, by the way. like, Mark Zuckerberg is a sociopath. He's not going to change. He is hurting humans. High school girls are cutting themselves and thinking about hurting themselves more. And you can go look up the numbers. I'm sure it's up 1X, 2X, 3X. Young boys are getting into gambling and other very dangerous things. Facebook's not going away. Twitter's not going away. Amazon's not going away. Google's not going away. Microsoft's not going away. NVIDIA's not going away. I said NVIDIA because most people don't know that's one of the largest companies in the world. These companies are not going away. They may get split up. Microsoft may become 10 companies. Amazon may become 10 companies. Google may become 10 companies.
Well, Google already did with Alphabet and the whole thing.
I know. When they did that, we're getting ready to, and it's very likely we'll see this year, the FTC and the FCC go to these companies going, you can split yourselves up or we will split you up. But here's our case. We have 9 million emails of Zuck saying, screw the little guy. So this is happening. Instagram is getting sold. WhatsApp is getting sold. This is happening. So to the YouTuber, his comment, it's
wait, those are getting sold again. I mean,
they will be spun off.
Well, I mean, that's the natural flow, right? Everything consolidates, sure. And it deconsolidates, then it consolidates.
Amazon will become five companies.
Yeah.
Google will become five. I mean, YouTube's going to be its own company. Chrome, the browser, will become its own company. The ad thing will become its own company. All the apps become their own company. It's already happening. Zuck may be the richest man on the planet one day. It'll probably be Elon Musk because I think he will probably have figured out how to solve climate change. I do believe the climate is changing. We lost half the listeners, but you know, and he'll be the first trillionaire, right? It'll be him or Bezos, by the way.
Yeah.
If Bezos gets into healthcare and goes, look, I know you're a size for women, whatever size six, I don't know sizes for women, but men, I know what your waist size is. I see you take vitamins. I see you get this, you know, powder, whatever. Hey, do you want us to just do your insurance for you? Like do your insurance for you. And by the way, if you want a COVID test, we'll just send it in the mail to you tomorrow.
That's a great lesson. I think we can take away from this show too. Just that one thing that you said, like, and I was teaching on this earlier, to a group, like you need to know your customer's entire like life cycle, what they're going through. I mean, I think Procter & Gamble does this better than probably anybody. Like they have followed the baby boomers through diapers, through blah, 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 all the way for diaper. To put it simply, Procter & Gamble has done a good job of following from their kids' diapers to their own diapers. Everything in between.
P&G is not going away.
No. Mm-hmm. They've got more billion-dollar brands than anybody.
Yeah.
Their brands are worth $1 billion, you know, not just the company, like their brands are worth billions. They've got like 35 or 40 brands worth $1 billion.
I'm not pro big. I mean, I think big hurts innovation. And I do believe big is getting broken up. Mm-hmm. And when it happens, Bezos and Zuckerberg, because they own a lot, Tesla may get broken up into solar and batteries and cars. And when it does, these six guys will all be trillionaires.
Sure. Right? And the product will get better. I mean, you think about like Dodge spun off Ram trucks and Ram trucks got better.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. I mean, think about what's going to happen with Instagram and WhatsApp going up against Facebook. You have three CEOs. You're going to have three profit margins. You're going to have three boards. You're going to have three C levels. And by the way, the Zuck's not going to have a two-part share situation on these companies. So he may still be the richest person and the biggest owner, but you're going to have the board of Instagram going, let's try this thing over here. I mean, TikTok was invented with Vine on Twitter.
Right. Like, sure.
Twitter invented TikTok. I don't know the whole story, but something happened on Vine. They shut it down, but TikTok's Vine.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we're going to see a splitting up of these companies.
So your answer to Wolfgang is don't try to fight these people. Just put your dollars where you think things work the best. Is that what you're saying? Like more free market?
Absolutely. Like don't fight Wall Street. Why? Like You don't have to make it David versus Goliath. Like, you can just go make money. Like, you don't have to be, and I'm very self-righteous, and self-righteous is a very negative trait, by the way. Like, being self-righteous is the highest order of rage and anger. So it goes mad, angry, rage, self-righteous. Like that is.
Give us an example of self-righteous. I'm not sure everybody's familiar with that term. I mean, you and I have talked about it a lot. Yeah, I'll give an example from myself. From a
religious point of view, righteousness is not what I'm talking about. And I don't know the Bible, but I know the word righteousness is used. So I'm not talking about it from a biblical sense.
Yeah.
So
I can give an example for myself, right? So like as a life coach, or for instance, like I think I'm pretty good at that. Like people for that. But I have a self-righteousness about marketing myself as a life coach because I think everybody should just flock to me.
You shouldn't have to.
Have to do whatever. Yeah. Exactly.
Guess what? You're
hence the medals hanging from. You see those little medals hanging from.
That's sparkly.
Shut up. Yeah.
They were purchased on Amazon. let's just call it what it is. I can get
they're not
bizarre behind me is fake.
They were purchased on the Spartan website because they got me to make me think I was a Spartan. But yeah,
So there's two different ways to look at this. Are you a user? I don't get the impression that you're a user of Facebook and Twitter very often.
I didn't know what they are. Let's be real.
He knows what I say. I advertise on Facebook.
Yeah.
I own my name on Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn and Instagram. I got my name, either my actual name or my company's name. I have no idea how to use them. I have no interest in using them. I watch video. I'm dyslexic. I love YouTube. I like going on and watching stuff. I've been posting videos on YouTube probably for a decade.
Sure.
I've been very self-righteous about marketing myself. And I always thought if you just put content on, it will do well. And the answer is it won't, because YouTube doesn't care about good content. They care about thumbnail, keyword, description, like these things that I was very angry that I had to learn. And so I never did learn them. But what I finally did is hire someone who's like, oh, that sounds fascinating to figure out the keyword phrase you should use because your content's really good, RC. So like, this is what YouTube ranks as good. Like that's what I mean by self-righteous, but it's mad, angry, rage, self-righteous. Because at the self-righteous, you're pulling the temple down on top of yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're hurting yourself for no benefit.
So, man, we could talk all night on this, but Ben just asked, he said, isn't part of the reason Reddit people did this whole thing with Gamefly about sticking it to the man? And yeah, it is. But to what end? Like, I mean, it's a great headline for the week, but is it going to change much? And is that going to help their lives much? I mean, maybe a few that invested, that had the money to invest. But I guarantee there's a lot of $20 investors in that group too.
Yeah.
But it's also like you get to be part of it. So let's say you put $100 in and it's now at 200. You now have this awesome story. I made 100% on GameStop.
Oh, you can tell that the rest. It's like the high school quarterback. You can tell that the rest of your life.
And there's no lie there. I mean, there is a lie because it's popular. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, this is what we get back to. It's not worth it to stick it to the man. That's a self-righteous thing.
Exactly.
Like,
It's not coming from
a place. If you're angry that you're not richer, then you need to look and go, what are you doing for income and how are you doing it? What have you turned away from? And what are you doing with your save? Oh, you don't save money? Well, there's probably a problem there. But if you're stuck in this stick it to the man, you are pulling the temple down on yourself. If for no other reason, you're losing years or decades of your life, even though you can be in some subreddit where there's other self-righteous people raging against the machine, like you should have.
That's why I mentioned Facebook earlier, because people, at the end of the day, people are motivated by their own self-interest. So you know, you separate Facebook or any of these social media apps into two different platforms. Like people that use them and they say, I'm never going to use them again after all of this stuff. And the people that invest in them or use them to make money that say, you know what, I have, you know, I could care less of what Facebook's politics are. I'm making money off of this and I'm going to keep doing it. Right. And then there are so many people over the last couple of weeks after the, you know, with the political situations, they, I'm abandoning Facebook. I'm getting off Twitter. I'm looking for alternative social medias, social media platforms. But at the end of the day, these people are still there. You know, I look at it 2 weeks later, they haven't changed. They haven't left. You know why? Because at the end of the day, Facebook and Facebook's the biggest one, but they have so much, you know, we talk about that addictive nature. They've got your photos. They've got all of these memories that you've stored up. You've got, there's a level of investment that you've made over a 10-year period. If you've been on Facebook that long, that you're not willing to give up. And I swear you will not give it up.
Yeah, that stickiness and that. It's funny how like social media, like we've gotten so caught up in the like, well, it has to be back and forth. Like if I'm a marketer, right? But it's really just like TV. Like if I want to advertise on Facebook, I could treat it just like TV and have a team that responds to comment. I don't have to do it myself.
Right.
Like there's no law, there's no rule, there's no, you know, better way or not better way that says I have to be the guy that's answering comments on Facebook all day long.
Yeah.
I can use it and it's probably a lot healthier if I use it as a medium, just like TV or radio or newspaper from 100 years ago.
Well, and people are learning that you have to get them into your own sphere, right? Yeah. So if you want to go fishing on YouTube or Google or Facebook or Instagram or Twitter, you got to get them over to your pond, because at any moment, Twitter can go, you know what? We're just not going to allow advertising for anyone who uses the word religion.
Yeah.
And they're a private company. I mean, no, they're public, but they're not a public entity, right? They're publicly traded, but it's a private company. And they can go, we just don't like the word religion anymore.
Yeah. It's crazy how since the whole, you know, whatever happened on the Capitol, like
January 6th.
Yeah. Since that day, like all of a sudden email is cool again. Like, right. Cause you kind of own your email a little bit. You don't really, but sure. You kind of do. Like email is like taking off again. You know, as you know, RC, I run an agency and like email is cool again.
Unless you're on MailChimp. I got to say. Yeah.
So like,
I didn't say that. You didn't hear that, but
you know, yeah, even that's people are watching, you know, so, yeah, so I guess like we could continue like recycling this and everything, but so RC, like this has been a crazy week on Wall Street. Truthfully, a lot of them are crazy weeks on Wall Street. They all seem very intense in the moment until you pull back and kind of look at the bigger picture. But so what's your biggest takeaway that you could leave with our listeners about kind of what's happened and how to best, you know, just from a sanity standpoint and human behavior standpoint, persuasion, kind of taking all those things in, like how do we move forward as business owners, as entrepreneurs, as marketers? That's mostly who listens to this show.
Yep.
What do we do with all this?
I mean, I would go watch Dave Portnoy. Mm-hmm. Because he came out in the shutdown. I'm in Washington State. We're still shut down. And so as a marketer, there are people who are their own people. Like, I don't think Dave Portnoy is posturing. I don't think he's bullshit. I think that's just who he is. He's just a prickly, I'm going to say whatever I want to say guy.
Right.
And as a marketer, and to wrap this up just with your question, be like, are you being who you really are, or are you being who you think you're supposed to be? Because if you're being who you're supposed to be, then you're hurting your brand. Mm-hmm. And I've postured a lot of my life, and posturing is a nice word of saying, you know, you're kind of lying, but you're posturing, like you're trying to be, and I know there's a lot of posturing.
Or you're afraid.
You're afraid. Like you're afraid to actually, but you look, and you and I both know small companies that are getting much bigger, and the women and the men that are leading that, they're just being who they are. Mm-hmm. Like, this is actually who I am. And people are like, I want to be friends with her.
Yeah.
I want to be friends with him. Right. Like, ooh, I like, or like the women are like, I want to be friends with her. And men are like, I want to date her. Or with men, guys are like, I want to be friends with him. And women are like, I want to date him. Like,
right.
It's the more you can connect to who you actually are. And some people get that at 60, some people get that at 30.
And so, I do think the younger generations are getting that faster than we are. Like, I think we, of course, I think as you grow up in the technology world, there's probably a faster learning curve.
Look, in 15 months, you could probably make 80 videos and have them perfectly keyworded and thumbnailed and description. And you could be a no one that knows nothing about makeup.
Yeah.
And you don't even need to be a woman, by the way. And you could have 500,000 subscribers on 80 makeup videos.
Yeah.
I'm just using that as an extreme, because you don't even need to be a woman. You just need to understand the algorithms of what's driving YouTube to go, hey, maybe this one over here looks good. It says the right way to put on eyeliner in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And YouTube loves that. And you happen to be a guy with a beard, but it doesn't matter because YouTube is seeing what it's measuring.
Right. I mean, I remember when I showed you Jeffree Star, like, it's like, here's a guy who's doing makeup tutorials and just like crushing it, you know, just making a fortune on makeup. And I think
that's who he is.
Yeah. And like, I think, you kind of alluded to it, but you know, the 1,000 true fans idea, that's probably the most accurate, that article is what, 10, 15 years old now.
It's Kevin something, right?
I think Kevin Kelly or something.
Kevin Kelly, like, yeah. 1,000 true fans.
1,000 true fans. Like, I
mean, just think about that. Like,
to this day, like, just
the fact that you have 1,000 true fans and make $250,000 a year.
Yeah.
And not, you can live anywhere on the planet.
Yeah.
You just need internet access. Maybe you don't even need a good microphone or a camera, but just camera, internet access, laptop, phone, $250,000 a year in 18 months.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I mean, and don't get caught up, I think, in the hype of it's got to be 7 figures. It's got to be $1 billion. It's got to be whatever. Like,
if you know it enough, I mean, if you like, and I struggle with this too, like,
oh, we all do.
There's enough, like, you know, when you have enough, and then there's, I just love what I do and I want to keep pushing it.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, Mark Ford, you know, Michael Masterson, Mark Ford from,
yep.
You know, copywriter, like he talked about, like, if you can hit that 250 mark, you know, like, you can pretty much have whatever you want. Then it's just degrees of niceness from that point on. Right. It's really like everything you want, you can have 150, 250 kind of range. Sure. After that, it's just levels. Right. So, wow, this is a weird comment on YouTube. I guess this is like hashtag, like, it says diamond hands, wash hands, wash hands, wash hands. I have no idea what that.
Thank you.
I feel very old.
Thank you, Diamond. I appreciate that. We'll say something about the 200.
I will say, Sean, we're doing something wrong. We need to reevaluate because we got like 11,000. We got like 11,000 download listeners, and RC. So we need to.
It's all about RC. We just need to have.
I confuse people.
But I will say, what's cool. My biggest takeaway in all of this is that, you know what? Technology allows, it's really leveling the playing field.
Yeah. It goes back to that whole flat earth, you know, flattening the earth idea. That was, what's that? When was that from? Do you, either of you guys remember that whole idea of like the earth is flat? Not flat earth. That's a different thing.
10 technologies that flatten the earth.
Yeah. Yeah.
The only one I ever remember is containers.
I mean, there was a guy who actually kind of coined that phrase, like with the internet and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, us, the three of us remember, because we're Gen X, we're kind of that weird generation, like where we've lived in both worlds, where we went out and like, we actually went places without a cell phone, without GPS. And like, our parents didn't know Ben and I were talking about this today. It's like, we went to football practice and like, how did we tell our parents when to pick us up? They just showed up. Like,
we didn't have, exactly.
Yeah. phone or anything.
Right.
And we're kind of straddle that, you know, that world.
At the end of soccer practice, I would call my mom, collect. She would hear my name and be like, oh, he needs to be picked up.
Absolutely.
I never had to have money with me.
That's right. On the payphone. Like, the people don't even know what a payphone is. Like,
there's a line for the payphone. I'd do a collect call, and 10 minutes later, my mom would be there.
Or you go to the teacher's lounge, and you say, hey, I need to use the phone to call my parents. Like, and then, you know, all that stuff.
I think my kid's the only seventh grader at his school that does not have a phone.
Yeah.
It's great. He can get one in eighth grade if he's got the money.
So Mr. Dickinson, I don't know what he's saying, but he's holding, he's not selling. And I don't know what he's talking about, but Mr. Dickinson, I appreciate that you're in the episode. I have no idea what you're talking about though.
So whether it's investing, whether it's publishing, you know, whether you're, you know, creating a YouTube channel, barriers are closed. I mean, the barriers have been leveled out. So I think that's, it's exciting times to live in. You know, I find that it's interesting on, you know, we've got certain segments of the population that are frightened of like where things are going, you know, in terms of politics. But I find it, you know, I look beyond politics because, you know, politics are, it's like a pendulum swing. It's like watching them, one of those little pendulums on a clock go back and forth.
Yeah.
Forget all of that. You know, what's exciting is the times that we live in, the technology that we live in, and the fact that we have platforms that we can use, that we can invest, and we can bypass a lot of the people that we've had to pay large sums to that have been middlemen for so long, whether, like you said, whether it's publishing, whether it's, you know, putting out content and stuff like that. It's really,
yeah,
it's really a cool time to live.
The one thing I'll say that of what you're saying reminded me is, and you have to be in a community.
Yeah.
You have to be part of a community that can hold a standard. Mm-hmm. Like, and have someone call out like, Jonathan, you're being self-righteous here. No, and be like, okay.
Shit. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
You don't have to learn how to market, but you do have to have someone marketing for you.
Sure.
Like, I think, and this is part of me projecting too, like when you're isolated. So this is also part of your question, Sean. Like, so when you're the entrepreneur and when you're a marketer, are you by yourself in a room in your house on your own, isolated? Mm-hmm. And if so, you're absolutely leaving money on the table. Like, yeah, you've got to get with a group. Maybe it's five dudes in your town or five ladies in your town where you can hold each other accountable and say, we're all making 100,000. There's no reason why we can't all be making 200 by this time next year. Right. And you hold it like that community thing, which interesting is, the internet has pulled us away from in-person, but it's also brought us to like, okay, the community doesn't need to be in our town. But I think that's the thing a lot of entrepreneurs are missing. And I don't mean entrepreneurs having to be in like a mastermind where they're paying for it, but just go.
Well, even conversations like this. I mean, and you know, RC, you and I talk from time to time. Ben, who was on the show or on the comments earlier, you know, he and I are now, we picked up our meeting once a week again, like just being in that community, you know, and being intentional about it and just staying in touch with people matters. Yeah. By the way, so we've got a new comment from Bomb Vile, Diamond Hands Until I Die. So I had to Google, like, I
just Diamond Hands is just crushing it right now.
Like I had to just like look up Diamond Hands on Google to figure out what the world's going on.
Sure. Right.
And it says, if you've got diamond hands, you're ready to hold a position for the end goal, despite the potential risk, headwinds, and losses. If you've got paper hands, you exit a position or fold early on because the heat of the situation might be too much. So that sounds more like your world, RC, than mine. Yeah. There's a whole video for you, RC, right there. Diamond hands versus paper hands.
And the thing is, I don't like conviction is the price.
Yeah.
Like
conviction will get you burned.
Some of my trades. And then I stopped. I said, I don't want to share a trade until I'm completely out of it because I could share something I'm in. And if something changes an hour later, I'm like, I'm out. Not like the wind changed, mm-hmm. but I bow to the altar of price.
Like, even if it's the right reason that you're doing, if you want to stick it to the man and that's your thing, like, But if you get too caught up in that story,
look, if you buy Bitcoin at 100,000 because you want to stick it to the man, and it's now at 10,000,
you lost.
Didn't work out for you there, brother.
Yeah,
right. Exactly. So the way you stick it to the man is you are healthy. You have a great relationship with your wife. You're not in a sexless marriage. You have friends that you like, and you have friends that like you. You have kids that love you and feel loved by you. That's how you stick it to the man. I mean,
right.
I lived in Silicon Valley for 19 years, and I can tell you, super rich people, they're in sexless marriages. They're mostly assholes. There's very nice ones too, but if you really want to stick it to the man, don't be in chronic pain.
Have a good life. Right.
Go out and run with your buddies. Go do some rucking. Go laugh.
What do they say? What's the old saying? It says the living well is the best revenge.
Is the best revenge.
Yeah. So
yeah.
There you go.
Like that's how you stick it to the man. Like every time I see someone who is like crushing, I'm like, dude, that guy's 150 pounds overweight. And I don't mean that as a judgment. I'm like, why the pain? Like that's a lot of pain to hurt your body like that.
Yeah.
Like that person's in pain. They won the commercial financial game. Woohoo, big deal. That's actually the easiest of them to win. But if you want to stick it to the man, you opt out of the game and you make a lot of money, or you have a great life. You have a wife that loves you or a spouse that loves you. You have kids that love you. You're able to run a 7-minute mile. Okay. I'm joking about that. And you love what you do.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I think that's a good place to end. I mean, we could talk all night on this, but yeah, I think that's a great point. Like it's not one area of your life. It's not just the money. It's the entirety. Are you living well?
Altogether? We all know the guy who's got the awesome marriage and you're just like, screw that guy. But you know, it's so, I mean, I'm talking about a real genuine, great marriage.
Yeah.
Like,
you take that over the money any day.
You got nothing on him.
Yeah, for sure. Right?
It's like, and those are rare.
Or the guy that can run the 6-minute mile and has a great marriage and his kids like him.
Yeah, and he's detached from whether you like him.
Eye on financially, like you'd rather have that than the guy that's crushing it financially.
Yeah, and it's not either or.
No, it doesn't have to be.
And talking about sticking it to the man, you know, live a great life.
Absolutely.
Which is not trivial. Like you've got to work out, you've got to get 8 hours of sleep. You got to, you know, go easy on the alcohol. Damn it.
I knew there was a catch.
You got to love what you do. I mean, I've told so many men, like you need to get a divorce. Mm-hmm. By the way, I'm divorced. I'm a single dad. And it's amazing how many men come to me and they're like, well, I mean, what's it like on the other side? I mean, I haven't had sex with my wife in 5 years and we don't really like each other, but we got a 9-year-old and should we wait a decade? I'm like, wait a decade to start living? Like, it's scary, but I mean,
yeah,
there's greatness out there, whether it's your company or just living the good life, and it's work. It's short-term hard work, long-term great life.
Yeah,
that's right.
Well, Bomb Vile and Mr. Dickinson are lighting up our YouTube. So
we
appreciate it. We really appreciate that. And RC, like, where can people find out more about you and what you do?
Same place for 23 years, fearlesswealth.com. It's a website. Websites are a place where you can put your information about your company. Fearlesswealth.com is basically where I'm found.
Cool. Well, this has been a blast. I mean,
that's where some of our listeners probably.
Yeah,
it's all fun. We enjoy it, man. We need to do this again. You know, we've had more. I think we've had more comments on this episode than probably any so far. So
RC stirs the pot, man.
You stirred some pot. Yeah, you stirred not one pot, but several pots.
Yeah.
Good, all right, man. Listen, have a great weekend. Enjoy your life. As we talked about. All right.
Thanks, guys.
Hey, thanks.
Hang on in the green room for just a second, RC.
Yeah. Hang tight. We're ending the broadcast right here. Goodbye, everyone. Oh, by the way, you can find us over at persuasionbythepint.com. can find us on all of your podcast channels. You YouTube guys who like to, who are making comments, you know where to find us. And we'll see you on the next episode. Thanks, guys.